The West Live.
The West Live.
The West Live. Brought to you by the State School Teachers Union campaign to fix WA's teacher shortage.
Well, just when we thought drama in federal politics was done for the rest of the year, here's Gladys. Despite being under a corruption probe, there are calls for former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian to enter federal politics and has even been backed by former PM Tony Abbott. Joining me now to unpack this and all things Australian politics is Senior Lecturer in Politics and International Relations at the University of Notre Dame, Dr. Martin Drum. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning.
And so Gladys might be back, and there's talk of her running in Tony Abbott's old seat of Warringah in New South Wales. What was your reaction to this?
I was quite astonished, to be honest. I think there's no doubt that Gladys Berejiklian's quite popular in New South Wales, and there's some people who feel that she's pretty hardly done by. But there's still the fact that this corruption probe that's hanging over her and that she's going to have to appear before is far from finished. And it's probably likely to cloud her entire candidacy if she runs.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that in a little bit more detail. So it was why she resigned as New South Wales Premier in the first place. It was revealed that in the Independent Commission Against Corruption, they were investigating her. She was engaged in alleged corrupt conduct during a secret relationship with a disgraced former MP in Darryl Maguire. But her supporters don't seem to be fazed by any of this. It seems, to be honest with you, quite bizarre.
Well, it is quite bizarre. It's a very short-term view. It's a view that someone really popular might topple an independent that themselves toppled Tony Abbott in Warringah. There's a broader context here where the Liberals in well-heeled inner-city affluent suburbs are under attack from a series of independents. And Zali Steggall took the seat off Tony Abbott in Warringah, which is a good example of one of those seats. And they're very keen to turn back the tide. So this is all part of that context. But I think the broader one is, do you really want to be fighting back allegations that you're soft on corruption in the immediate lead-up to a federal election?
Mm. And do you think the thinking amongst her supporters and the Liberal Party people that are backing her and potentially Liberal voters is that her transgressions that are being investigated are not seen as that serious?
It's fascinating this, isn't it? I think there's a bit of a line running that she was unlucky in love. You know, she was got caught up with a bad fella who perhaps misled her. But there's plenty of evidence in the corruption probe so far that there were significant decisions being made, which he was in her ear about. And it's a conflict of interest that she should have declared.
Mm.
So, you know, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to think about how things might be different if she'd been a male premier and had been caught doing the dirty on his wife and giving, you know, sort of contracts worth millions of dollars based on that secret affair. I don't think that they'd be getting as much sympathy.
Yeah, there's no suggestion, I think, from either end that there's an affair involved. I think they're both single at the time. But it is a fairly straightforward conflict of interest where if you're in a relationship with someone and that relationship is impacting on major decisions around funding, that it should be declared. It's pretty black and white.
Yeah, it certainly seems pretty black and white. And talking about other colours, let's talk green, because that seems to be a bit of an issue for political parties at the moment. And it seems to be a wedge that's driving between the Labor Party and the Greens when it comes to climate change. They're not always seeing eye to eye anyway, but, you know, they certainly would like to, I guess, be a little bit closer if competing with the coalition in a federal election. Do you think this will help or hinder their chances that there's a bit of a stoush unfolding at the moment on this issue?
I don't think it's the worst thing for either party because they both have to market themselves to their own supporters. So for the Greens, they don't want to be seen to be too close to Labor because why would you vote for the Greens? You may as well vote for Labor. So they need to pick out a point of difference. For the Labor Party, whilst they want Greens' preferences, they don't want broader people in swinging electorates to think that they're just kowtowing to Green demands either. So actually, I think it suits both of them to maintain a comfortable distance away from one another. Look, you don't want too much fire between them, but at the same time, if they're seen as too closely in cahoots, I'm not sure that actually helps.
Yeah, right. So we're seeing a bit of rhetoric at the moment, but it's very, it seems to me that you're saying it's quite self-serving and panders to, you know, particular sections of the electorate where they might want to curry favour.
That's right. So I think it's quite a few people in the Labor Party that are wary about being seen as in a coalition with the Greens. And that then opens up a line of attack from the coalition. The coalition will say that, you know, you're basically, the Greens are setting your agenda. And conversely, the Greens tend to do better when they've actually got issues to run on against Labor as well as against the coalition.
Mm. And talking about, I guess, the chances of anybody winning the federal election, the latest opinion poll yesterday suggested that support for the coalition was down, support for Labor Party was up. What did you make of that?
Well, whilst it's encouraging for the Labor Party, you've got to keep in mind that, you know, the Labor Party led in most of the polls, most of the way up until the last federal election, and it wasn't enough. So I think that opinion polls are a point of view in one snap, one immediate point in time. Mm. There's still a lot of water to go under the bridge yet between now and, say, whether it's March or May, which is one of those two options is likely. That's still several months away, and a lot can change.
Mm. And one thing that I think the coalition would hope to change would be their reputation when it comes to dealing with sexual harassment, sexual abuse in Parliament. And they took a bit of a step backward this week. They had a catch-up. They seemed to very much miss the point of the Jenkins report. Our federal politics editor, Lani Scar, described it as a meat raffle at your local RSL to discuss re-election, but also the reaction to the Jenkins report. Barnaby Joyce got up, made a reference to everybody would rather be drinking mango daiquiris than listening to it. How do you think that played to the electorate?
It was one of those remarks that you might make in a closed room behind closed doors that look quite different when they're played in public. And I think that that would lead to a lot of awkward conversations, particularly amongst coalition strategists who are trying to really move beyond this and maybe pre-select some women in winnable seats, that kind of thing. And every time another comment like this comes to light, it probably doesn't help.
Mm, yeah, I think you might be pretty right about that. Senior Lecturer in Politics and International Relations at the University of Notre Dame, Dr. Martin Drum, thanks for joining us on The West Live.
You're very welcome.